A powerful, masterful voice delivering a message that's powerful and life-changing. Today, we're visiting with the one and only David Phelps.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Okay, we've always teased this guy as being the voice, the android, the machine, but you know what? Deep down inside, this guy's a lot of fun. He's got a lot of personality. He's a family man, but to this day, we cannot get away from the talent. And I was in a conversation just last week about his voice. There are other voices in the world that people say, well, if you like this, you'll like that. But then when you really put him up next to him, I'm not saying that because you're sitting here. I would say that to anybody. I just don't know. The talent just blows our mind. So David Phelps is who we're talking about. And David, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Well, you're very kind, Daniel. Thank you. You know what? I am just proud to be one of the voices in my generation. There are a lot of voices in my generation that are just fantastic, and I'm proud to be one of those that is out communicating, whether it's a simple emotion or a piece of eternity. I feel very honored to have the opportunity to step on stage and to open my mouth and to sing a lyric that hopefully will move someone.
I imagine because of the fact that your voice can be so varied, you can do so many different styles. Has that opened up not even just doors of being able to go in and perform, but even just conversation? Because somebody from whatever corner of the world or whatever background may fall in love with the sound of your voice and then later start asking questions about the message or just in general curiosity of who you are and what you do for a living.
Well, it definitely has. And, you know, in the end, I'm just trying to be true to myself. You know, I think maybe when I was younger, I might have been trying to pull a few punches here and there, try to do some things that maybe were out of my anointing. But at this point, I think I'm just trying to be true to myself and you know, really let out the influences that have been fed into me. And of course, one of those things is the classical side of things. That's not all of who I am, but that is definitely a part of who I am. And when I recorded Nessun Dorma, that opened up a whole nother world that I didn't look down and plan. It was not manipulated at all. I just kind of went, you know, I sang this song years ago, and this was one of the first songs outside of gospel music that really moved me. So I want to sing it. And it really has been amazing. Like you said, it has been a conversation starter with a lot of people who end up saying, you know what, my sister's here and I want to, this happened this last week. This lady came over and said, my sister's here and she was blown away with Nessun Dorma. She's a seeker. She doesn't talk about having faith, but, I'm hoping to get her your music, and of course, my music is gospel music, and so that really opens up some wonderful doors, and has for me over the past few years as I have kind of stuck my toe into those waters, and you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity to do that.
David Phelps, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Oh,
we're catching up with David Phelps today on Daniel Britt and Friends. And we've done the interview where we've kind of gone back to as a kid and we traced your timeline. But I do kind of want to go back to college because you went to Baylor University, right?
Absolutely, I did.
And majored in?
I majored in vocal performance. Applied music is the fancy term they called it then. And to my parents, that meant I'm not going to have a job afterward. But, you know, my parents have always been my biggest supporter. We joke about it because my dad is a CPA and my mom has her PhD in English literature. Wow. And so this college professor. So both of them have that very practical outlook on what work is and your career. And so when I stepped up and said, I want to be a singer, and, you know, it was just kind of, yeah, whatever. You, don't we all? And you'll go and get a CPA, your degree in accounting and master's in business, and you can always sing on the side. But
because there's no 7-step business plan for being a singer.
There's no outline as far as you go do this, you go do this, and you graduate, and then there are this many jobs for you to apply for, and then you go follow that. There's no plan laid out anywhere for it. Everybody's journey to do what I do is different. Mm-hmm. And but it didn't take long. I remember it was 9th grade that I stepped up and said, which is pretty young, but I said, this is what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life. And they didn't push back very long because for me, I started just singing everywhere that I could. And from that, all these opportunities just kept opening up and kept opening up. And they were kept pretty busy driving me all these places and never complained about it because they could sense something magical was happening as well, you know. And so as dreamy as I was about it, they kind of got caught up in it, and the dream of all of this as well too. And so then when I went to school, you know, they said, well, if this is what you're going to do, you're going to go to school and get a degree in music and you're going to learn how to do it right. And, you know,
something to fall back on.
Yeah, something somewhere that, you know, please get that piece of paper. And of course, it was more than a piece of paper. I have been very grateful for my education throughout my career.
Now, I think when people, and well, I know because this is conversation that happens, I don't know if you hear this, but David is classically trained. He went to school for this. Now, there's raw talent there. There's nobody can deny the raw talent. But at the same time, they think because you bring the classics into some of your recording that maybe some of that was birthed in the college years. Is that true? And is that an accurate picture of what those classes were like at Baylor?
Well, and my family, I mean, my parents had season tickets to the opera when I was growing up.
Right.
And I always joke, we also never missed Dolly Parton when she came to town. And we had every record Bill and Gloria Gaither ever put out. So we had this, you know, plus as a kid in the 80s, I wore out every Journey recording that I ever had, you know. And so I had this eclectic thing through which I was exposed to lots of different kinds of music. And looking back now, what I fell in love with was being moved. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to move me, whether it was Sandy Patty singing We Shall Behold Him or Anne Murray singing I Cried a Tear, You Wiped It Dry, or, you know, a Journey 80s rock hit or Pavarotti singing Nessun Dorma or La Donna Immobile. You know, I love being moved, you know, and I think that is what I have brought into what I do. I feel like that's kind of my my qualification for a song when I record it or when I am even sitting down writing it. Can this move people, you know? And so going to school, being classically trained, there was a rub there at some places because I was being introduced to a lot of additional material, you know, in the classical world. But I still had this love of whatever it was, you know, that moved me in any genre. And And as I grew up and as I've gone on, that's really been the thing that Bill and I have in common too. I mean, he wants people to be moved, and so that's always our common ground, you know, from the beginning. That we both, you know, I love that about him, and I want to learn how he does it and learn how to do it, you know, like he does. So.
I see trees of green.
This is Daniel Britton Friends, and today we're catching up with Gaither Vocal Band member and soloist David Phelps.
You said in ninth grade you had the passion really came that this is what you wanted to do. Had your voice changed at that point?
You know, it was starting to change. I didn't have a voice like my son, Grant. He's 13, and he had the automatic, I'm up here one day and the next day he's down here, you know. And I never had that. I had this gradual lowering of my voice. So,
was it awkward?
No, it never was. It was awkward in that it probably was, it stayed higher longer than some of the other guys, but it didn't drop down as quickly. But, you know, it got to the point because, you know, my mom is my great, fan and teacher. Still, she's the first one to stand up and yell, bravo, you know, whenever she's there. Yeah, you've seen her. She's pretty fantastic. But I remember singing a song in church, rather. I don't remember the song, but I remember, I'm sure it was screaming Larnell Harris or Steve Green song, and I was trying to go for notes higher than what I could at that point. And she said, okay, we're getting you in voice lessons. I don't want you to ruin your voice. And so that's when I was in high school, I believe my sophomore year is when I started taking some voice lessons down at Houston Baptist University. And I would drive there, and then I started going up. My older sisters were at Baylor at the time, and so I found a teacher at Baylor too that really helped me understand how to do the high stuff like I do it now, you know.
So do you have any advice for kids who, I'm sure you get this all the time, but you know, I want to do what you're doing. What is that 7-step business plan? Because it sounds like to me your story in a way is a model business plan, seeing wherever you can sing and kind of bloom where you're planted mentality.
Well, you know,
education is important too.
Well, that's right. And don't let me, if I forget to mention the education thing in just a second, I want to come back to that. When I was a kid, you know, I started my first concert. I was 18 years old. My church, they got together, the people that I'd grown up and had sung in that church, they got together and said, we believe there's a future for you here, and we want to kind of get behind you and tell you that this is what that you can do this, and we support you. And so I did my first concert when I was 18, and just was then First Baptist Church Houston. I used to sing there a lot. They kind of had fallen in love with me and I with them, and I remember singing there. And the first great advice that I got that night, I sang, and then I was after the service, I turned around, and John Bisogno, who was a pastor there for years, was standing behind me. And I'm 6'1", and my face was at his chest. So he's a big old guy. And he looked down at me, and he said, sing everywhere you can. And he turned and walked away. And I still say that is the best advice I ever got. More than just exposure, more than just being in front of the right people, it's being in front of the wrong people. That is a huge lesson for people that do what that want to do what I do. Because you have to fall in love with the act of making the art that you're doing and not the applause. You have to fall in love with doing it every night and the joy of it being different every night and the art and the science of communication, right, and the art of making yourself a better musician every time. And every time is a lesson. I still say every time I go out, it's a lesson for me as a communicator, because if you don't communicate with an audience, doesn't matter how good you are, then you failed as doing what we do. If you haven't communicated as an opera singer, as a country singer, as a gospel singer, then you are not going to have longevity in what you're doing. Somewhere you've got to communicate through the vehicle of music, the emotion behind it. And that is really where Sing Where Everywhere You Can comes into play. And so it is the best advice, not only for that, but also building a network. I spent all of those years before I had to pay my own way building this network. I got my big Macintosh computer that, you know, the very first rectangle box. Yeah. And I started building a database of everywhere I was and asking them, do you know people who might want to hear me sing? And, you know, I was just so passionate about it. And I started building it from there. And then back to the education side of things. As a young guy who just wants to sing, you don't really understand why you have to go through that. But
life's passing you by, right?
Yeah, you feel like, oh, if it doesn't happen now, it's not going to happen. Yeah. That is just not true. And there are the guys that win with the American Idol kind of success are so far and few between, and many of them don't have the longevity as an artist who has, you know, worked on their chops from the ground up. And the truth of it is I would not be doing what I'm doing right now had it not been for my education. Not only the obvious vocal education that I got night after night. I was just out for 5 days in a row this last week, which is just crazy. I shouldn't be doing it at my age. But on that last night, I go, okay, I know what I'm going to have to do to get through this. I know where I'm going to have to cut my corners. I know vocally where I'm going to have to kind of go, I can't go there tonight because at the end I won't have my voice. And I don't always do it right every night, but I have a plan to get me through the rough times. Not only that the obvious vocal training, but also college, a university education is very important for a communicator because that's where we learn how to think critically. Mm-hmm. And if I have one thing that I want to give my own kids, it's the ability to think critically in this world. It matters for your relationships. It matters the way you communicate to others in your workplace and your boss. It matters so that you can understand your faith. Thinking critically, passing that on, those are the people that are going to be the leaders in the next generation, those that have learned how to do that.
David Phelps, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Just believe it.
David Phelps, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Okay, David, you've been out on a 5-night straight tour, and you're coming home, and you can't wait. You're going to see your wife and your kids, and you walk through the door there at the farm. Is there a... It's a weird question. Is there a smell when you walk through the door and you say, this is the smell of home? Is it a dish? Is it just something about the laundry? Or is there something that just says, this is home. It's good to be back.
You just said all those things, and I can come up with smells for the laundry. I mean, my wife, right. She has this great thing that she does with laundry that I pull shirts out of my suitcase and go, oh, I literally, like the commercial, I hold them up to my nose and breathe it in, and I love it. So that, of course, is one thing. But, you know, when she is baking at the house, she is such a great Southern cook that fills the house like that. And she... If it's not what she wants it to be, she'll light some candles too to try to fill the house with just that great. And of course, this time of year, we're in the fall right now. Mm-hmm. That is the time for those great smells in your house, you know.
Rich spices.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And, you just walk in, you go, That's just wonderful. I stepped into the river. Sank up to my knees in the mud. Well, the preacher man took me under beneath that cleansing flood. There was something about the water. There was power in the blood. For the first time in my life, I felt was there to haunt me. It had its chains on me. But then the preacher man took me under beneath that cleansing flood. For the first time in my life, I felt clean. Clean.
not clean. Clean. I felt clean.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends. We're catching up with David Phelps.
Polished you are, talented you are, but at some point along the way, if Mike Rowe, and I love this question because you never know what you get with anybody. Okay, if Mike Rowe from the Dirtiest Jobs TV show were to come to you and said, okay, David, let's go back in your life to the dirtiest job you ever did and let's go recreate that moment, where would you have to go?
Wow. Oh, growing up in Texas, I mean, I have a couple, you know, I spent my summers working with my grandfather. He was a cattle rancher. So that was pretty dirty, hot, you know, job doing that. And when I wasn't there, I remember one summer I worked for a company named Strock Farms down in Houston. We loved their, they had a restaurant too, but I picked corn with a bunch of guys one summer. I have to say that
I've never done that.
That might be the worst job that, than the hottest and, you know, the most tedious job that I have, that I ever remember doing. But I had my fair share. You know what? My parents, they admitted this later on, but it was their scheme to put us in the worst jobs possible so that we wanted to go to college and get an education.
Especially once you told them what you wanted to do.
Yeah, I know.
Feel it where the glory. open wide to set captives free. And those who are roaming the earth rise to meet them. Abraham's seed as the sands of the sea. These are they.
This is Daniel Britton Friends, and today we're catching up with Gaither Vocal Band member and soloist David Phelps.
What book have you read either, I mean, when I say lately, that could be last month or it could be 2 years ago. What book have you read that you still keep going back to that has stuck with you? There's a few books like that that we read that it's like, I'm still quoting from this book, or I still find myself, you know, passing this piece of advice on to somebody else often. Is there a book like that for you?
Well, I have to say that I don't often, a large part of my reading, you know, a big percentage of it isn't often religious books. But I will say this, that I read the book Heaven is for Real, and I can still remember chapter 17. Tears are running down my face. The son comes to the mom and says, basically, I'm the baby that you lost. I'm at her in heaven. And I just lost it. I still remember that. And I read it a couple of times. And that's a pretty moving book. In a world where, where our faith in something beyond the here and now is attacked all the time. I mean, if you're on the internet at all, and if you're reading comments of different people or blogs or whatever, your faith is being attacked. Your hope is being attacked. And to me, that book was a simple reminder, a reinforcement of faith and hope.
Streets of gold. You could hear the strings and the angel wings. See the saints of old. But suddenly God breaks a smile and begins to sing. Look, my son is coming. Oh, open up the pearly gates of heaven. Build another mansion next to mine. Everybody dance and shout for joy around the throne. Set another place. Play the trumpet loud and clear this time. Hallelujah, my child's coming home. That's right. Now they say the only time God sings is when a lost soul believes. And they say that there's a celebration right there beside the crystal sea. And God himself directs the choir.
Full dialogue, engaging music, and the laughter of the redeemed. This is Daniel Britt and Friends.
For them springing fresh from the Word.
Morning has broken, everything's anew. Praise for the morn,
sweetness of the red garden sprung in completeness where his feet passed. Morning has broken, everything's new. Praise for the morn, hallelujah, hallelujah. Morning has broken, everything's new. Praise for the morn, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mine is the sun.
David Phelps. That's all the time we have for this week, but we're going to put a bookmark here and return next week for part two with David Phelps. More on our continued series here on Daniel Britt and Friends. Thanks for listening. I'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.